How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing all right, but goodness me, I seem to your world, I just go on wondering. Human beings are amazing. No one seems to be able to live in harmony and peace, not even your family, good alone the world. Well, your family's pretty happy, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You're lucky, isn't it?
Yes, the daughters are very happy. Thank
you.
Great.
Nice to hear your
memory. Well, I wasn't bored of coming to see you, mate, and your issues. Thank you. Looks like a couple you are, mate.
What?
Oh, I don't know. Going to that would be an old day.
We look forward to
it.
Oh, I wouldn't say you're complicated. No, I don't think that's cool. You know, the rest of people who want to do a lot, you find you're restricted by circumstances and cash, don't you?
Oh, that's so
messy. You always seem to think money would make a big difference. Well, I suppose in some cases it would, but in a lot of it make it worse.
Unfortunately.
Money doesn't really make happiness, does it?
Oh, it doesn't make happiness, but it helps the project,
by the way. Yeah, so it means you're not going to worry about bills and what have you and all that luck.
No.
Would you say, Nicky, that wisdom?
Huh?
Would you say that wisdom, it is better to have wisdom than money?
Oh, I shouldn't have both, shouldn't I? But then you'd know how to keep those here, Mummy. For good, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you would, yeah. So, wisdom without money is a wonderful thing, but wisdom with money is a much better thing. It means you can use your wisdom, can use your money in a sensible manner, which would be a benefit and help to people whose needs for money are great. Wisdom without money is a wonderful thing too, but well, I mean, your world, I don't say far away from it now, you know, that I don't understand, I do. I mean, it's all very well to be wise, but if you, when your bills come in, you can't write out a check or set them, then your wisdom don't help, does it? The other thing is, if you had wisdom, probably you wouldn't get such big bills.
Thank you.
You balance your budget accordingly. He said, no, we can't have that electric fire on when you've had that one off. That will save us so much, of course. That would be wise, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, then you might get laid out with flu and cost you more in the long run, so
it's very complicated.
If you had wisdom, actually, you wouldn't get flu, would you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think the flu bug minds whether you go to this person or that person, whether they've got wisdom or not.
Well, if you kept your body strong and healthy,
I mean, you get some of these people who do all sorts of exercises, they do this, they do that, teach themselves to fitness, the first to go down or something, aren't they? Well, yeah. Wisdom's a funny thing. Even when you've got wisdom, you don't always know you've got it.
That's true. That's true.
Some people are overcautious, and that's just as bad in some ways as being sort of couldn't care less attitude. Just go ahead and make best things, you know? Actually, I suppose the point is there's no such thing as any form of perfection. If there was, well, life would be a bit dreary. I think you've always got to keep on learning and suffering and gaining knowledge through experience, and that's life. No one has perfection, thank goodness. Not even us. I think perfection would be horrible.
Nothing to
strive for, then. Besides, how uncomfortable you'd be in company if the person or persons concerned were perfect.
Yes.
You'd sort of feel all good, you know, a bit dreadful. You don't get anyone's idea of what is perfect is in another. Some people seem to have this idea that a very religious person is more or less on the way to perfection, but it's not necessarily so, sometimes it's a failure. Often people who have got no particular religion or background are much more likely to reach some sort of condition or stage of perfection than those who have got narrow-minded outlooks and restrict themselves. You've got to have an open mind to find some form of perfection. Anyway, what is perfection? What's perfect? There's that thing. It is the fact that everything and everybody is imperfect that makes life horrible.
Yes.
You ask me, I'll tell you. What can I do for you?
I'll relate to you, Mickey. Thank you for your talking with us this morning.
Oh, I always look forward to coming to you too, because I mean, you really are trying to help, and you are doing something practical and sensible, and you know, some of these people, they get messages and they help one way and another, but they don't do anything with it.
Yeah, well, we're stepping outside.
All I wanted to talk to Aunt Fanny about some trivial thing or some material problem with that, and they look upon us as a sort of society of clairvoyance, you know, sort of, well, we might just as well, you know, they just take great use of us, don't they? For material ends.
It is on the wall, pal.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I think you've got to have balance. A lot of people have got balance.
You must have balance. I quite agree.
I mean, we're not unaware of your problems. We're not unaware of your difficulties. And we're sympathetic. And as far as it's in our power to guide and help you, we will always do. But there are many things we can't do as much as perhaps we would like to. Yeah. And there are some things that if we could do, we wouldn't, because it wouldn't be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But some spirits just seem to think that, well, we just exist to sort of guide them every 5 minutes of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realise that once they have this truth, and it's up to them to be practical and sensible and do something as far as it's in their power about it.
Mm.
Not sort of just go on expecting us to lead their lives for them. Some people get on the pick, you know, some spirits.
I actually do.
We never think of putting anything into it, they always want to take something out of it. They think it's one big brain cell, that's what they think. You ask them to do something sensible and practical and helpful, and exert themselves in the process, and perhaps make some sacrifice. Oh dear, no, not them. But you tell them you've got a meeting coming to your house, and they'd like to come and have a sitting, they'd be there on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask them to come visit somebody who's sick and in need, or do something sensible, practical and helpful, oh no, they're too busy. Oh, I get fed up with spirits, especially some of them. Some of these churches are all blah, blah, and they'll do. They're making lovely changes and all that lark. And when they think they're doing anything sensible, practical, or helpful, or kind, well, not them. That's the number of the medium, isn't it? Well, so cool. Their guide's supposed to say this, their guide's supposed to say that, but, gosh, they're close. But when it comes to it, mate, they use their guide for their own convenience, if you ask me. My guide says this, my guide says that. She uses those for her own benefit. But I've got mummy, they ain't properly developed, haven't they? The children think that if they spoke the truth, they wouldn't know how much comes from our side and how much comes from our subconscious mind.
Yeah.
You see, they get this bit in their bonnet, their measles, and they start taking the platform and they become the big I am, you know, and look at me, I'm on the platform now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, give me the witness. Now, there aren't many people in your world today who sacrifice themselves and give up their time and their effort to developing and using their gifts in the proper way. They all want to be, you know, medium straight away without
anything.
I don't know, gives you the witness.
What an extraordinary character this young man is. I listened with great interest to many of the things which he says. One is, of course, forced to the conclusion that invariably he is right. Nothing distresses us more when we look into your world and we see those who profess to have this truth, this knowledge, and those particularly who in themselves do so little, when perhaps quite often they could do so much. The methods that are used sometimes by those who had been so greatly guided and helped from the side. Methods that they adopt are at times so distressing to us. We give so much of ourselves in love and in sincerity of purpose in brotherliness to develop and bring forth the gifts of the Spirit. And we see so often those gifts used in such a way that it brings discredit on us and on the work that we try to do. I know there are many aspects of this problem, and I would not have you think that I am not tolerant. Indeed, I feel that I am most tolerant. But if only the spiritualistic movement as such could really get together in complete love and harmony and brotherliness, utilizing its force for good as one body, there are these separate units, so many, so diverse. There are so many instruments, many different kinds, many who have such promise, have such powers, which if used right could indeed bring such comfort, such joy, such knowledge to humanity. But we so often see instruments that we have spent years endeavoring to assist, to guide and help, using their gifts in such a manner that in the end, quite often, the very guides that have worked so long with them are driven away, not able to communicate in the fashion and in the way in which they desire. And we've seen souls of low order take over, take control, pander quite often to the mundane, quite often to those who come as sitters, who by their very nature bring down the level of communication by their problems of a material kind. It's a great responsibility to be a leader. We who come to you are expected to be, and indeed we are, tolerant. And often when problems and difficulties arise with those whom we have on earth, we try to be helpful. And when a problem is such that others are involved, we try to be impartial. We try to see every aspect of the case. We try to see the good in each soul. And we see the striving and the longing and the desiring for good. But we are not so foolish that we cannot see the weaknesses which often in themselves make for unhappiness among so many whom we love. One of our greatest tasks, and indeed one of our greatest problems, is to be able to keep an even path for those whom we know are anxious to do the work of the Spirit in the best possible manner. But we see the many complications that do arise, and indeed I suppose must arise. Our mediums that we use are so precious and so pure. We try to guide them and guard them, sometimes even against themselves and their weaknesses. We are constantly on the alert, because we realize that we must, at all times, surround the instrument and the sitters against undesirable forces. We must ever be on our guard against these things which could disrupt and sometimes indeed could seriously hamper the work that we try to do. That is why it is so important that a medium should, to the best of his or her ability, be cooperative, and not to go against that which they know is essentially necessary for the welfare of themselves as individuals and the work that we try to do with them and through them. And when we come, as we do, with the door open, we try to bring to you, as best we may, some realization of the power of the Dharma Spirit. We try to give you an illumination of this life, even though at times it must be dimmed by material expression. For there are no words which can describe or depict fully our world or our lives to you. But we feel that we are building together a bridge, as it were, between our world and yours. And we realize that if we are to achieve and to become truly one in spirit, we must build this bridge. Assuredly and strong, and that it must be a bridge which will take, as it were, the traffic between the two worlds. You have your part to play, this is not always easy. We need, as it were, the instrumentality of the instrument for medium. But if we are to achieve anything through any instrument or any medium, we must have the power and the love and all that is good that can flow from those who are associated or connected in your world. I don't think the average sitter, the average person realizes what an important part they play in communication. So much onus is placed on the medium, so much is expected of the medium. The medium is looked up to as the avenue or the channel by which we come. And yet, every individual is an important factor as to what we can or cannot do. The sitter's attitude of mind, the very conditions which they bring, it's so important that every individual who seeks truth should realize that they can only receive truth if they themselves have made a contributory portion or part towards it. It's so easy to say, I'm here, now tell me. But unless you yourselves, by your very nature, by your very inclination, by your very desiring, enable us to come on that vibration which we are always anxious to achieve. We can only give to you certain things, sometimes indeed not so far removed from your own conditions of life. That is why it's so important to build a bridge that is spiritually strong and secure. And this can only be done by your thoughts and your prayers, and above all by your actions. And yet so many people say, we do not seem to receive very much from the other side. They do not tell us very much. They do not necessarily always seem to be able to answer questions of your quickly. But then again, as I've already said, we are often limited by the very conditions which people themselves create. It is not sufficient just to say, tell me this, or tell me that. One must, well, oneself, make every effort within one's own nature and being to rise to the highest possible level that one can. Even though you are beset by material problems and material conditions that has to hold you down, even so, in spite of all these complexities of life, your spirit within yourself can be raised on a plane far removed from the mundane and material things of your ordinary daily life. It is not easy, but it was never intended or expected that it should or could be easy for those who would seek and find the treasures of the heaven. They must, of course, make often sacrifices. sacrifice. And sometimes it is not easy to sacrifice oneself on earth. But all the great souls that have ever lived in your world have sacrificed and given of themselves solely and completely towards this goal of complete oneness in love and in harmony and in brotherhood with the power of spirits. I do not think spiritualists particularly, although perhaps one should not generalize, but are particularly raised on any particularly high level. This is a sad, tragic thing which holds back this great movement. For many years now, spiritualism has been not only to many people accepted, but it has been brought into the lives of individuals in all walks of life, some of high influence and power, and in their own fashion and way they've endeavored to blazon the banner of truth. But it all does not affect that spiritualism has not progressed as we would have liked it to have done, or as it might have done, because the full significance of its power, spiritual power, has never been realized. There has been a tendency to keep it and hold it down on the material level of consciousness. Vast numbers of spiritualists, well-meaning no doubt, nevertheless are content to scratch as it were the surface and not reach the heart of things. We come with a power and a love which is beyond description and beyond perhaps your needs or comprehension, but if only we could find sufficient numbers of souls who are truly prepared to give completely themselves, seeking and searching only that which is truly a price, linking up through instruments of high quality, we could indeed bring forth into your world a great truth and revelation of a power which hitherto has been denied. We are limited by the instincts that we use and by those who call themselves physicalists. Sometimes I think it is a poor word. It could be a great word, spiritualist, but there's so few who are truly spiritual or truly anxious for spirituality. There are many who are concerned with the ordinary and the communication of a level not far removed from the earth. There is too much given over to the mundane and the ordinary, whereas the power of the Holy Spirit is so powerful and so great that if only a man would open up his heart truly to it, truly we could so bring forth in the darkness of your world a light that would truly make for a path for the whole of the world to follow, a path of illumination, a path of strength and character, which would gradually make possible a greater understanding among the nations. I am convinced that the only solution to the problems of mankind is the true understanding of spiritual communication and realization of the power of the spirit, what it can do and what it can achieve, and how it can break down the barriers that men have erected in ignorance and foolishness. Man has created through his intolerance a world which is far removed from the brotherhood of man, from the realization of the things of the spirit. We live in a world that is so complex, yet man himself has created this complex condition. You have innumerable religions, you have innumerable nations with different ideas and different ideologies. You have many barriers that man has created. You have this ism and that ism. You have this barrier and that barrier. And you have so much that could be eradicated. Only man would realize his true inheritance, realize his true self, his true power, that he is indeed in embryo, as it were, a spiritual being, but he is so swamped himself by material thought and condition that the power of the Holy Spirit is dimmed, and so little is perceived. Man has within himself truly the power to be a god. And I mean this in the sense that every individual is divine, that every soul that is born into your world is a spiritual being, undeveloped no doubt, and often, as it were, held down by fears, held down by uncertainties, held down by the very nature of his being, material. And yet, there is a divine spark, there is the Holy Spirit, that is there, obscured, hidden, that could be so brought forth that it could shine into the world like the light in the darkness. Every human being has within himself the power to give and realize it, for as you are physical, material beings, so are you yet spiritual beings. The power of the Holy Spirit has never fully been revealed to humanity, for there has never been sufficient realization in any human soul, any human being, to make it possible. And yet there is nothing impossible. Many of the great souls in the past revealed in parts the power of the Spirit. The Christ and many other of the great teachers and prophets of old, in their own time, in their own fashion, revealed some aspect of the divine, so that all men might see and know and understand and in parts partake. And yet none have fully revealed the power of the Spirit. And yet I say to you, my friends, that in some measure you have been partakers of this great and glorious truth, that you can do so much more within yourselves, and others can be brought unto you who could be guided and helped, and they shall in themselves, no doubt in time, be revealers of truth. Greater the powers that lie ahead, greater the possibilities. If sometimes I seem pessimistic, sometimes I may seem to you depressed, as you term it in the material sense, it is not fully so. It is because I know the great possibilities of this great and glorious truth that we want to reveal, and what it can do and what it can achieve, and how much truly we could yet do in the months and years that lie ahead. We know the complexities and the difficulties. They are not insurmountable, they are not impossible. Many of the problems that come, they go, they're solved, depends on always the way in which one thinks. And somehow you're always able to go on. Sometimes, of course, it's a struggle, but nevertheless, battles are won. The power of the Spirit will sustain you. The power of the Holy Spirit will guide and uplift you and strengthen you. And truly we shall, in time, gradually reveal ourselves more and more unto you. Be of good faith and good heart. Go forth truly in strength, knowing that we are despite you. And that which we do is greater than ourselves, for we are but the servants of the Most High. Truly we are brothers together, and there is no need to fear. For we cannot fail, for that which we do is greater than ourselves. My love, my blessing, my peace be unto all who listen to the voice of the Spirit. For I am but one with thousands of souls gathered around, waiting an opportunity to serve to work with you. We shall not fail, for we cannot and we must not. The world needs us. But truly, are you living in a time when the power of the Holy Spirit is needed so greatly, so necessary is the power that we bring and the love that we bring, and we shall, I am sure, ere long
break down barriers that will make possible the greater power and revelation of spirit. All is well, and yet I know there are times when you feel it is not so, but even so, out of evil, which has been saved, comes good, and out of the dire necessities of your life, your world, out of the tribulations of the peoples of the earth, out of the needs of the peoples of the earth, out of the sorrows and the sadness and the darkness, shall come light, shall come love, shall come power that will truly bring you nearer to the divine. You must not be discouraged. Go forth, my children, in love, together, knowing we are ever with you. I love my peace with you.
Thank you very much.